So I'm just going to pick it up from where we start, when we stopped last week. We go back to Matthew chapter 6. And of course, when you open your Bible, whether paper or electronic, to Matthew 6, you can see that all around you is red letters. If you have a red letter Bible, just make that observation. You can see all the words on Matthew 6, Matthew 7 are red letter. These are the very words of Jesus to you. Now, when God speaks through his servant, like when God speaks to Peter or Paul or John, yeah, it's still God speaking. Yeah, it's still the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen? But when God speaks through his son, it's a double package. Amen? That's why you just say, truly, truly, I say, he's giving you double load. Yeah? Pay special attention to the very words of Jesus. Amen? And like I said before, he said, if you are following Jesus, I don't know if you are following Jesus. I don't know what type of Christian are you. Someone asked me a question during the weekend. We're like, oh, is this person a Christian? I said, there are many different types of Christians in the world. But if you are a genuine Christian, it means that you are following Jesus. Amen? So if you say, I'm following Jesus, therefore, I will pay special attention to everything that Jesus has to say. Amen. Matthew 6. I need someone to read for me from verse 7 to 15. New King James Version and New Living Translation. Matthew 6, 7 to 15. Yes? Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 to 15. Tell us the version.
A New Living Translation. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating the words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. And when you fast...
Amen. We finish.
Amen.
let's not go to fasting yet. Amen. Matthew 6, 7 to 15. New King James Version. From this side? New King James Version? Anybody? Matthew 6, 7 to 15, New King James Version. Yes. We'll come to you later. Matthew 6, 7 to 15, New King James Version. Please listen.
But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. It be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth that things ye have need of before ye ask him. 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen. And sometimes when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we forget that there are some conditions. And that condition there, I can show that. I also saw that in Mark 11. Mark 11, 24 says, whatever you desire in prayer, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Then he talks about forgiving. And that if you don't forgive, your prayer is negated. So twice, there's a repetition in Matthew and Mark about forgiveness, but I'm coming to that later. The first thing here, he says that when you are praying, don't use vain repetition. Now, note this. He did not say don't use repetition. Please, I need to emphasize that. He did not say you cannot repeat your prayer. Amen? He just said that if you are repeating it, it should not be what? Vain. Please, someone help me. What is the difference between repeating and vain repetition? What makes a repetition vain? Yes? Anybody help me? If you are praying and then you repeat your prayer, what will make it become a vain repetition? How do you go about it that is now vain? Yeah? Yes. Just think. Well, yes.
Casual?
Yes, just... You know, over and over again, you're just reciting without thinking. Your mind is not there. You're trying to add as many words as possible to your prayer to make it as long as possible. So if I can say it in a long way, God will hear. Yeah?
I think Amplified Classic says, do not heap up phrases, so multiple words, repeating the same ones over and over again.
Yes,
so.
Words. Because even Jesus said, the Gentiles think they'll be heard for their many word. Now, the issue is not that you cannot pray many words. It's just you can't pray. Praying many words that are vain does not add any value to your prayer. So, for your prayer not to be vain, it has to be fervent. Or it has to be heartfelt. You are speaking from your heart. You can repeat it, but it should all be coming from what? The heart. He's always telling you over and over again that I love you. So long as from their heart, there's no problem. But you can easily pick up when they're just reciting. They're like, please don't disturb me. Amen? So don't try to impress yourself in the place of prayer. Be genuine. Yeah? Speak from your heart and mean it. Then your prayer will be more effective. Amen? And we're talking about still part of living by faith. That is when you are living by faith, you want to have a genuine relationship with God. You can never deceive God. So every time you try to deceive God, the only person you are deceiving is who? Is yourself. Amen. You can never impress God more than your who you are. Let me say that again. You can't impress, you know, like maybe your friend is coming to visit. Yeah? Then you quickly tidy up your house. Tidy up yourself. Whether you've had a shower or not, does not matter. You tidy. Decorate. Yeah? Your friend comes in and says, you look great. Amen. But God already knows. He knows exactly the state of the house. 10 minutes before. Amen. So, be genuine, be real, be honest. Have an honest relationship with God. You will get more results. Amen. Have a honest what? Relationship with God. You get more results. And there is, and you see what the Bible says that why you should do that? He said, because your Father already knows. Amen. He knows what you need before you ask Him. I know from my own experience that sometimes we don't tend to believe that. Sometimes you feel like you're just informing God about something He didn't know or something He forgot. So just in case you forgot, Lord, I'm here to remind you. Amen. Now, you can remind God, but you're not really reminding God. Do you get? When you go and remind God, basically you're just expressing your trust in God. That's okay. But He's omniscient. Amen? Say my God is omniscient. You know what? He knows everything. Hallelujah. So, go to prayer with the consciousness that God knows. That is living by faith. If you don't believe that God knows, you are not praying, you can't pray in faith. Amen? Because if God doesn't know, that means He can forget to. Amen? Yeah? He knows. So you may say he knows. Amen. He knows what you need. There's also something else he knows, by the way. He also knows what you want. Sometimes, what you want is not what you need. And some other times, what you need is not what you want. But which one is Jesus trying to emphasize to us? Your need or your want? It's your need. Why? What's the difference between your want and your need? And why is your need more important than your want? Yes?
You can't do without your need.
You can't. I get the point that you can't. But in the context, you can. Yeah? There are some things you need, but you are getting by without them. Particularly when you don't even realize that you need them. But you can't do without your essential needs or your basic needs. But there are many other things you need that you can do without. It's just that your life will be poorer quality. Whether spiritually or physically or mentally or emotionally. Yeah? So you can, but you can't. Ultimately, because you will suffer. Yeah? Your destiny will suffer. Your life will suffer if you are going without your needs. Yes, another, any other reason? Difference between your needs and your wants.
Your wants can be to satisfy your own selfish desires.
Mm-hmm.
But your needs is, like you're saying, it's to benefit you. God knows what you need to live a better life.
It's for your benefit. Hallelujah. Your needs are for your best interest. Now follow this teaching. Your father knows what your needs. There are some of your needs that either you don't know or you have not embraced. Amen. There are things that God wants to do in your life that you don't want. If God comes and says, oh, let's do this, that's not what we are here for. Can you quickly answer me this one? Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you're having a conversation with your children or with your spouse or with your friend, yeah, and you're trying to get something they need, help them die, they say, that's not the one that matters now. Just sort out this one first. Amen? And sometimes in prayer, you are pushing hard for what you want. But the Father knows what you need. 5 years later, or 10 years later, you may now see that what you were wanted was not really helpful. But you will not see it now. And that's why you need to trust God. Amen? Well, you need to go to prayer with a attitude of trust. Amen? Now let's jump forward, because I want to dig this a bit to make you see the point. So Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. I'm talking about prayer today, but I'm also talking about trust. Now when we come to prayer, we must come with the attitude of trust. A trust that you are coming to a Father who knows and who cares. The moment you don't believe that God cares, it's a big problem. It's now you are trying to manipulate Him to care. You are trying to manipulate Him to give you what He doesn't want to give you. Can you see the problem? It's a serious problem in prayer. Not only will you struggle, you will not get the best out of prayer because you are not in faith. Matthew 7, let's do verse 7 to 15. Yes, two readings. Matthew 7, 7 to 15. Someone was not read today. Matthew 7, 7 to 15. Two readings, yes. Matthew 7, 7 to 15. Tell us the version, please.
King James. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek, you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, how know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Amen. That's the one. First 12, thank you. I'll come to verse 12 later because there's something important about verse 12 that we've not unpacked. We need to unpack it today. But let's look at this principle here. He said that as human beings, yeah, if your son comes to you and asks you for bread, will you give him what? A stone. He asks you for fish, will you give him what? A serpent. Yeah? Of course, I know the answer. The answer is what? No. Amen. Now, let me ask you this question. What if your son came to you and asked you for a stone for lunch? Yeah? Will you give him the stone? What if he came to you and said, look, I would like you to give me a serpent for a toy? I'm not talking about a gentle serpent. I'm talking about, you know, the venomous ones. Will you give? Amen? And Jesus said, that is you being evil. But the evil there means you being imperfect. Yeah? You being sinful. Meaning that you are prone to error. You are prone to, you know, missing it. You could miss it. You in general, as a believer, you are loving, but once in a while you could be selfish. Amen? And yet, you will not give your son a stone. In the place of what? Bread. And you will not give your son what? A serpent. In the place of what? Fish. So, how much more? Someone say, how much more? Just try to think about it. I'm trying to stimulate your faith. Your trust in God. Trust in God. You have to trust in God. You are trying to take ownership. You say you gave your life to Jesus. Then, not long, you took it back. I mean, you are taking ownership. You are in charge now. Yeah? And you are using Jesus just like a genie. You know a genie? Is that a genie? Genie in the bottle. Yeah. Just to supply what you want. You're not trusting him. Yeah? You gave it, but you took it back. You're not trusting him. Trust him with your life. Trust him with your future. Trust him with your destiny. Trust him with your health. Amen? Trust him what? With your health. Philippians 1, he says, he will begin a good work in you. Amen? Something happened to you sometime in the past. You could have been crushed. You could have been broken. God delivered you. Trust him that he will begin what? The good work. Amen? He's able to what? Complete it. That's why he did not allow you to be destroyed that time. Amen? So why should he not give up on you now? Trust him. When the challenges come, remember what God has done for you in the past. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When Satan comes to try to derail you spiritually, remember that God saved you. Amen? If God saved you, he has a plan for your life. Hallelujah. If he didn't have a plan, then he shouldn't have bothered saving you. Amen? If he saved you, he's the one that began the good work and is what? Able to what? Complete it. But what I need to do is to trust him. If I stop trusting him, there can be a shipwreck. Amen? If I stop trusting him, I can sink. It happened to Peter. Trust him. Trust him. Don't be of little faith. Trust him. But let me tell you the way faith works. Faith works because you have to turn the focus away from yourself. The reason why you're struggling with faith is that you are too focused on me. For you to live by faith, you must put the focus on him. You must surrender, you must truly surrender your life to Him. Hello? I'm not just talking about surrendering your heart to Jesus. I'm talking about surrendering your life. Your goals, your dreams, yeah? Your money, your family, children, past, you must surrender even your past. Sometimes you're not moving forward because you are held back by your past. Surrender it to Him. Hallelujah. Surrender your future to Jesus. Many times you are bounded by people's expectation of you. If Jesus lived by people's expectation of Him, He will never fulfill the counsel of God for His life. They will have forced Him to marry. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 juniors. He will have missed road. Amen? But that was not the plan of God for His life. It doesn't matter what people say. Everybody will die one day. Or be raptured. Whether you have 10 children or none, everybody will die. Amen? What we count is, did you fulfill the plan of God for your life? That's how your life will be measured. Say, God, I had 20 children. I succeeded. You know, one of my children is a doctor, one is a lawyer, one is an accountant, one is a politician, you know. And unfortunately, one of them is a burglar. So I tried. 9 out of 10 turned out well. Amen? God does not measure your life like that. God measures your life by the plan He has. Your Father never knows what you need. Amen? Why? Because He also knows the plan He has for your life. Hallelujah. And your life will only truly be measured by how much you fulfilled God's plan for your life. Amen? And that's why the main thing you're worrying about, some of them are even not in the plan. And you're burdening yourself. The other half that are in the plan, yeah, you are not trusting God with them. Like I said yesterday, last week, I said when you are worried, there are two consequences. You're not going to be depressed. Depression has junior brothers and sisters. Yeah, you can be down, you can be low, you can be unhappy, upset, frustrated. They are all junior brothers of depression. Yeah, before you go to the advanced stage. Or you're going to compromise spiritually. When you're worried and not trusting God, you're going to do something that goes away from the path of righteousness. You're going to give up your relationship with God and trade it for something else. There's the cost of worrying. So either way, it will take you away from God's plan. Hallelujah. But for the things you need, if you trust God and you seek God, God says that I will work out through the process of you seeking me the things you need, and I will add them to you. Now, someone said, but you know, if I also work hard, I'll get things I need. But you will lose righteousness. You know? You will lose your relationship with God. And if you're not careful, you can even lose heaven. You can lose your eternity. So, what is the value of everything you were chasing? Hallelujah. There are some women, you will see it in some Christian movies, that in their pursuit of trying to have a child, they go and borrow one from the devil. They will enter a covenant with Satan. And for the rest of their life, they will be struggling with that bad decision. You see, they've lost their soul in the pursuit of something they wanted. But when God supplies your need, you don't lose His righteousness. Hallelujah. You don't give up your relationship with God. Your relationship with God will thrive, and yet your needs will be met. That's where you want to be. You don't lose heaven in the pursuit of earth. Amen? You don't lose what? Heaven in the pursuit of earth. You get heaven, and it says it will hide what you need. Amen. Now let's go to verse 12. Matthew 7:12. Go to verse 12. Let's do some teaching here. Matthew 7:12. Please read me Matthew 7:12. Who read it last? Who has the mic? Yes, that's. And as you're reading, get ready for my question. Matthew 7:12. Go for it.
Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets.
Amen. Now, if you don't know this, this verse that my sister just read is called the golden rule. Do unto others as you like them to do what? To you. Amen. You know, I read something the other time, like, you know, when I don't have time to do the right things, it's because I'm busy. But when other people don't have time to do the right thing, it's because they're what? Lazy. Amen. That's how we judge unrighteously. Amen. You don't see the log in your eye, but the speck. You see. Now, please don't misunderstand it. He never told you not to help with that speck. All he said is, first remove the log in your eye. Amen. Now you have the right attitude and humility and compassion to help to remove the speck. The speck still needs to be removed, but the log needs to remove first. Amen. So the question in Matthew 7:12 says, therefore. The question I'm asking is, why? What is therefore? What's the meaning of therefore? Please explain to me, just English. When I say, therefore. You know, I've been saying some things before, and I said, therefore. What does therefore mean? Yes? Let other people help you. Therefore, you say, therefore.
Firstly.
Sorry?
Firstly.
Firstly, yes? More? If I say, you know, I give it four items, 1, 2, 3, 4, they say, therefore, what can therefore mean? It's what?
Linked to the four.
Yes, it's leaning towards something that has been said before. I said something, therefore. Yes, another one?
Based on what I've said.
Based on what I said. You know, because when I'm teaching, I don't want to just flip over. We just jump to the golden rule, but he has told us something and I said, therefore. We have to go back and see what he said. For which reason he's saying this one. Amen? So, you're going to help us now. Let's read some things he said before and try to understand the therefore. So, Matthew 7. And we are looking at... let me just give you a few verses. Please. Verse 9. Now, listen. Verse 9 to 11 is the reason for verse 12. We're going to read it now and understand it more fully. Go for it.
Verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If he then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Verse 12.
Therefore. Stop. Thank you very much. Please, somebody help me. What is it teaching us there? It's teaching us a very important principle of getting your prayers answered. What can that be? Is there? Look at verse 11. Verse 11 is the key to understanding verse 12. And verse 12 is the key to understanding verse 11. Yes, anybody want to suggest an interpretation? Yeah, go for it.
Be as God would be and look to help and give things to other people.
Amen. Yes, you're in the right direction. More? That's the direction I'm going. Verse 11 is the basis for verse 12. And verse 12 will help you fully understand and interpret verse 11 well for your benefit. Yes?
My little knowledge is says if you being you know how to do good gifts, things, how much more your Father in heaven, if you can do 100, imagine your Father in heaven owns the whole world. I can give you 1,000. I can give you hundredfold what you can give. So in order for you to be able to get what I can give, you should put yourself in a position that can help you get it. Understand? By being able to, by being the first to do to others.
Amen.
You understand?
Yeah, see what the Spirit showed me. Amen. Hallelujah. Firstly, God is a better giver than we are, even in our best form. But the principle here is, do unto others as you will love them to what? Do to you. So you want God to give to you? But you're very stingy. Amen. You know what God will do? He'll just be laughing at you. He will still give his merciful, but one day the devourer will come and consume it all. You know the risk of stinginess is that you can store up something and it can zap in one day. May you not see trouble in Jesus' name. Amen? You can spend all your life piling something up, but without the blessing of God, it can perish in one day. Amen? You need the blessing of the Lord. Since I need the blessing of God. Hallelujah. So what did Jesus tell us? Luke 4:38, I believe I'm quoting right. You can let me cross check it. He said, give and it shall be what? Given. I'm not just talking about giving the church. I'm talking about you have to take on an attitude in life of generosity. You have to allow your God to, in your own little way, let me put little there, you know, use you to be a blessing to somebody. It's not only money. Your time, your skills, your energy, anything you have, anything you can. Hallelujah. It could be somebody you don't know on the road. It could be, you know, a beggar or a poor person. It could be somebody who is not poor, but they are in need. You don't pray for anybody. The only prayer you pray is, Lord, Lord, bless me and my family. Hallelujah. You're not following the golden rule. Amen. Every money that passes through your hand, you are like an infinite sink. You know an infinite sink? You just keep pouring and it just keeps draining. Yeah? You are not a channel. You are a sink. It's a terrible place to be. Hallelujah. Do unto others as you have them do unto you. Now, someone said, you know, Pastor, you know, I don't agree with that interpretation. Well, let's show you. Let's show you. Because I have to prove it. Out of two or three witnesses, yeah? Go to Matthew 6 now. Matthew 6. And read me verse 14 and 15. Matthew 6. Someone who has not read today. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Matthew 6. Let's test this principle. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Yes.
I'm reading from New King James Version. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen. Is that? Isn't that the golden rule? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God forgives us much more than we could ever forgive anybody. Yeah? But he's still telling us, practice that golden rule. If you forgive, you will receive forgiveness. If you do not forgive, you will not receive forgiveness. Let me explain that part to you so you understand. See, because we are imperfect, meaning that, you know, we are sinful. When I say sinful, means I'm not saying I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner, I'm a saint. Every day I'm going out to commit righteousness, not sin. But I can fall into sin because I'm imperfect. So, when someone offends you, you quickly remember that the last time you offended somebody else. So at least you have some basis to understand that you ought to forgive. But God has never offended you. God is perfect. God is stainless. When you offend him, you are the only guilty party. Amen? Let me say that again. When you offend God, you are the only guilty party. God doesn't say, okay, I offended somebody yesterday, so I have to forgive you. No. If God chose not to forgive you, he will still be righteous. Because he never sinned. You know that story of forgiving, yeah? He said, because that man had been forgiven £10,000. Now he cannot forgive someone £10. His relative, the fact that he received forgiveness. But what if he was never forgiven anything? Do you have a case now? He can choose not to forgive £10. He has nothing to lose. That's God. And yet he forgives. Amen? God doesn't owe you anything. But sometime in your life, you've owed somebody something. So I say, oh, I don't owe anybody anything. What about your parents? What if they decided to throw you in the bin when you were born? You know, some babies are like that. They're thrown in the bin. Some are not even allowed to see the light of day. Hallelujah. But you exist because somebody had mercy on you. Amen. Hallelujah. So the principle is the same. You forgive and you receive what? Forgive. Another version says, if he that shown mercy, we also what? Receive what? Mercy. So one thing you learn about forgiveness, that forgiveness is an act of generosity. You're not forgiving them because they deserve it. You are forgiving them. How, why? For Christ's sake. Amen. For Christ's sake. And for your own good. Amen. So that's why now it's independent of them. Amen. If someone wrongs you, hand it over to God. God doesn't say that when you forgive them, they will go scot-free. When you forgive, you are just letting go of the hurt. I've come to the hurt. It's not the hurt you're even letting go of. When you forgive someone, you are letting go of your right to get even. You are handing that right over to God. Because if you try to get even, because you are imperfect, you may do the wrong thing. So you hand it over to God. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Amen. So it is right for you to say, God, see what they did to me. Repay them. But you can't prescribe to him how he will repay them. He can decide to give them £100 as repayment. Trust him. Amen. Trust him. He can decide to let them go scot-free for 4 years, then deal with them in the fifth year. Trust him. You can't dictate how he will repay to him. Trust him. Hallelujah. However, when you let go of that right, you may still be hurting. Amen? Wounds take time to heal. Amen? Wounds, what? Take time to heal. But what do you do to wounds to make them heal? Put in medicine. And bandage. Don't dig it. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me tell you, the medicine for emotional wounds are words. Good counsel. Amen. Good counsel. Good fellowship. Good words. You will heal. Amen. You will now remember what they did, but it won't hurt you. It won't hold you bad. It won't make you cringe anymore. You have healed. Amen? You have healed. Say, you know what? They meant it. Jesus said they meant it for evil. But God has worked it for my good. You know what? Joseph doesn't have to go get in. I mean, like, in the process of what they did to him. You know Joseph? His dreams were shattered. Literally speaking. Amen? You know, he had dreams. He had the coat of many colors and he had dreams that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to him. And then he shared his dreams with his brothers and with his spirit. Amen? Then not long later, they threw him into the pit, stripped him naked, and sold him far away to Egypt. When he landed in Egypt, he became a servant. His dreams were what? Shattered. He said, let's see what will become of his dreams. Amen? But, you know, God said, vengeance is mine.
I mean, in the passage of time, and time passed, he was 17. Amen? And that 13-year journey, it was a journey. So we say it was a journey. Yeah. Jesus, times in God meeting your need, it takes you to a journey. But of course, you don't want a journey. All you want is what? A solution. Quick fix. From quick feet. But when you go to quick feet, you understand that it's not always quick. Am I right? Sometimes you may go to quick feet and they don't even have space. Amen. 13 years journey. Yeah? But his dreams came true. His dreams were restored. And into that period, God took his vengeance. The same people that sold him into slavery came to beg him for food. Amen? And so now, they are afraid that he's going to deal with them. But he just said, I don't have to deal with him because my dreams have come true. Amen? What do you have to repay again? God has repaid. Amen? You meant it for evil, but God has worked it for good. That's living by faith. That's God meeting your needs because you chose to trust him. Amen. Let's see how we're doing with time. Therefore, whatever you desire, yeah, men should do for to you. Oh no, I'm not quoting. Let me read it. Matthew 7. That's what we're looking at. Verse what? 12. It said, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also what? To them. Amen. Let me tell you something else I'm seeing here. He's not speaking to them. He's speaking to you. Hello? Let me explain what I'm saying. He's not telling you to tell them to do what you want them to do to you, to you. No, that's not what he read there. What he says is that you want them to do it to you, you in your mind. Yeah? Oh, I wish that my husband would come today and just, you know, what will he do? Have time for me and just, you know, do whatever. Yeah? You know what you want them to do to you now, yeah? Now, go and do it to them. Amen? You sow it first, then you reap it later. Now, if everybody did that, we have better relationships and better world. If I do what I know is right for you, because I know it's right for me, to you, without waiting for you to do it to me, or another way of saying it, like my wife says, let's challenge each other to love. Amen? Let's challenge each other to what? Love. Yeah? Let us shine each other in loving each other. The sacrificial love. Amen? It's a golden rule. Some of the reasons why your prayers are not being answered, because you are not following what? The golden rule. Amen? You want God to fix your life, but you're not going to allow God to use it to fix anybody's life. Amen? You weren't going to answer your prayers, but you're not going to pray. You're not going to pray, your kingdom come. You know Bible says? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. But all your prayers are never about seeking the kingdom of God. It's always about what I want, what I need, what I want, what I need. And if God answers that one, you will tell him about the future one. So that just in case he went to sleep, you quickly secure the future. But the Lord's Prayer does not start like that. The Lord's Prayer starts with, your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But you don't pray that. You don't have time for that. You don't come for a prayer meeting. Why should you come to prayer meeting when you can go to work? Why should you come to prayer meeting when that does not answer your daily bread? You see, you're not following the golden rule. Sometimes you think, oh, when you come to prayer for a meeting, you are coming to satisfy Pastor Ben. No. No. It was for your benefit. Whatever you would desire that men should do to you, do to them. Some say, oh, please, don't forget me in your prayers. But how many people do you pray for? Amen? You think there's some people that just prayer merchants? You must always be top of their list. Morning and evening, night and day, they must pray for you. What about you praying for them? Amen? Let's finish on this note. Matthew 6, let's read it. Matthew 6, 33. I'll finish on that note. Matthew 6, 33. So now, having told us not to worry about our needs, and God is not in any way telling us our needs are not important. In fact, he told us, you know what? How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? So he's actually challenging us that actually, as a father, I can do better. If you will not let your son go without their needs, I will not let you go without your needs. I can do better. Not just can, I will do better. It's a challenge on my integrity. I'm your heavenly Father. I know that you are not perfect. And I know that you will grant the needs of your children because you know they need it. You may not grant their wants, but you grant their needs. How much more will I give good things to those who ask me? Yeah? So that's settled. But now it gives us one of the principles. The main principle I've touched today is the golden rule. Practice the golden rule. If you want to see your prayers to become more effective. Second principle is Matthew 6:33. Let's read it. Two versions, then we explain it and we'll finish there. Yes, Matthew 6:33. Two people have not read today. Matthew 6:33. Two people that have not read. If you've not read, it's your turn. Matthew 6:33. Okay, I'll go for you two. Tell us the version.
Amplified version.
Yes.
But first and most importantly.
First! And most important, I know you're not going to, I know that I'll finish this message and somebody will forget it. Because you don't want to pay attention to that. It's like, that's Jesus' own. Jesus has said his own. But if you really want to listen to Jesus, he's telling you an important key for your life, for your destiny. If you're not going to miss the path of life, the path of righteousness. If you're not going to waste your destiny, because the devil can really, really, is an expert in getting you to waste your destiny. That's why I came to Jesus quickly and offered him the alternative. So that, it doesn't mean that if Jesus took the devil's offer, that doesn't mean he will die young, he will live long. But he will have lost his destiny. The whole reason why he came to life, lost. Yes, go on. First and most importantly, yes?
Seek. Aim at, strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing
his way
being right.
Yes, someone said, what's the kingdom of God? Is it just coming to God church? No. Yes. But not all. You want to be aligned with God's ways of doing things. You're a believer. Amen. You know there are some things you already know you should do as a believer. And if you don't know, read Matthew 6. The first thing it says in Matthew 6 is that when you give, Matthew 6, read the Matthew 6. Don't read it now, but go back. It tells you three things that you must continue to do as a believer. One is when you give. The second is when you pray. And the third is when you fast. This is God's way of doing things. Do it. Amen. Do it. Do it. Put God first. Your relationship with God, if you have children, you already have a lifetime job. You are no longer alone. You must also help those children find that relationship with God. Hallelujah. It's your assignment. It's your assignment. You know, it does say that, you know, children are a gift from the Lord. If I'm putting a translation, I will change that word gift to children are what? An assignment. A gift is what? An assignment. Amen? Do it well. He will reward you. Amen? Do it well. He will what? He will reward you. Because you have done something that is so valuable to him. You have mentored another life. All the young people around you, all the people around you, you know, that you have influence on, they're your assignment. What influence are you having on them? Are you helping them develop a stronger relationship with God? We're just going to take them to a party or a shopping. Give them a gift that they will spend on the flesh. You're not doing it. That's not seeking the kingdom. That may make you feel good and your family ties. I like my auntie. She's very generous. But you didn't mentor them. You didn't add any spiritual value to them. You saw something they were doing wrong. You never said anything. You corrected nothing. You said, that's how children of nowadays behave. But you know why they behave that way? Because they have no mentor. Nobody spoke into their life. You will have behaved like that too. If somebody did not speak into your life. Amen? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Continue, please.
The attitude and character of God.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things will be given to you also.
Let me explain that. Your father knows the things you need. So you say, my father, my heavenly father, knows all the things that I need. And let me also tell you, he knows the things that you want. Because he's a good father. He will not give you anything that you want that could hurt you. But the devil can. And you yourself can. You can go and cut corners and get it. But if it's the father, he will not give you a stone for lunch. Do you get it? He will not give you a stone. The devil can give you a stone for lunch and say, change it to bread. But the father won't. Amen? The father will not give you a stone for lunch. Amen? Because he's your loving heavenly father. But it says that, as you seek me, I will add those things. Now, does it say that I'm going to be lazy and do nothing? No. Seeking God is not laziness. Yeah? Because as you're seeking God, you'll be putting your life in order. Laziness is a sin. Amen? Do you know the sin of laziness? Is the sin of making others do for you what you should be doing for yourself. You are breaking the golden rule. Amen? You know that you are supposed to wash the dishes. But you thought about that. She will wash it. Yeah? The same person that cooked the food, tidied the house, just those dishes. Is this a sin? Amen. It's a sin of shifting responsibility to somebody else. You're supposed to pray. He said, don't worry. Pastor Ben and Pastor Jimmy and Brother Greg will pray. What's important is for you, mommy, to remind them that they should not forget me. It's a sin. You are breaking the golden rule. Hallelujah. And your heavenly father, he sees. So, he will hard. God knows how. You know how God adds the things you need? He uses people. He uses what? That's why he said, give, and it's reward given to you. Let me break that and we'll finish it there. It means that when you give, now remember it's not just money. Time, skills, energy, compassion, listening, prayer, anything you can add value. God will mobilize other people. He has a way of doing it. To meet you at your need. Does that mean that need they're meeting? To them it's a small deal. But to you it's a big deal. I don't understand. You don't get me. God, when God wants to meet your need, for the people meeting it is a small deal. It's something small they're doing. But for you, that was the biggest deal. Let's rise up. So talk to God today. His title is Living by Faith. And you can see that behind all these things there is living by trusting God. And you can see that trusting God is not just naming something and claiming it. Trusting God, trust is a relationship. I put God at the center. I put him before me. I want to do things his way of doing things. Amen.
His kingdom and his righteousness is his way of doing things. Hallelujah. And as I do that, I'll bring my needs to him. He knows them already. He knows them already. But as I trust him, he will make a way where there seems to be what? No way. Hallelujah. But in the process, I will not lose my destiny. I will not lose righteousness. I will not lose heaven. I will not lose the opportunity God has given me to touch other people's life for his name. So whether by living or in dying, I want to be in the will of God. Hallelujah. Whether men applaud me or men criticize me, I want to be what? In the will of God. Hallelujah. You can be blessed even when you are being persecuted. It's in the Bible. It says, blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you. Great is your reward in heaven. Amen. So say, God, help me to continue to trust you. Wherever I've not trusted you with my life, I want to repent today. I just want to remember that golden rule. It's so powerful. It applies to your relationship with God. If you don't forgive, he will not forgive. If you don't give, you may not get much. Apart from mercy drops. Say, Lord, help me to practice the golden rule. Help me to practice the golden rule. You know, every believer is called to generosity. You volunteer, you help, you pray, you go the extra mile, you visit, you forgive. They're all generosity. Help me to practice generosity in my Christian life. Help me. I repent of stinginess. Everywhere I've been stingy, forgive me. You're a generous father. So also, you know, sometimes your generosity will open the door to your breakthrough. Because God himself will move on your behalf. Something you can never do for yourself. God will just do it for you because you have decided, you know, to be open just the way he's open. Help me, Lord, to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness, your way of doing things. That is the constant thing you can do. Whether things are good or bad, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes I say, I'm waiting for God. And I'm so frustrated. You know the reason why you are frustrated? You did not keep busy seeking the kingdom. That's why, it's because you are high dude. That's why you are frustrated. You see, waiting for God to meet a need does not need to lead you to frustration. While you are waiting, keep busy seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. That is even the guarantee that need will be met anyway. Thank you, Lord. You receive grace. Lord, to live victoriously over the world, over the flesh, over the devil. We receive grace to break every power of evil showing in our lives as we